Woo, here's a hot take on this week's episode.
The algorithm changes every day. Like no one, I'm sorry, Meta, but no one is going to gaslight you like the founder of Meta telling you this week what size things should be, what format is most popular, what's changed this week, what hasn't changed this week. Like no other relationship in your life, no other platform, no other service or product you use changes that much, or you'd be like, why do I keep doing that? Like if your internet provider changed so much, you'd be like, this is not working. You know, if Netflix changed that much, you'd be like, I am no longer interested in Netflix. And so, but we allow social media to do it because we feel like it's our only promotional channel. Set the pace, watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus, keep the drive. No slow motion, I'm alive. Power surging, can't deny. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Balance, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman, taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Today, we have a top publicist in the studio with us. Welcome to the show, KJ Blattenbauer.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's great to see you again. And what I'd like to ask my audience is, what if being seen wasn't vanity, but a direct pathway to having all seven pillars of abundance in alignment? What if it was financial, mental, and social abundance to be seen online and in your life and to play a bigger game? So today I'm joined by visibility strategist KJ Blattenbauer, and we're going to talk about how to build authority, income, and impact without hustling yourself into a burned out state. You don't have to grind for attention, according to KJ. Visibility can feel aligned, strategic, and sustainable. KJ is a powerhouse publicist with nearly 30 years experience. She has gotten clients on major TV shows and in every publication from Forbes to Architectural Digest. She wrote DIY PR book, How to Be a Media Darling, a guide to building lasting visibility. So tell me and tell my audience, how do we create visibility without burning out? That's the question of the day.
Ooh, the big question right out of the gates. Well, first right. of all, you have to decide what you want to be known for. I think some of the biggest problem, the biggest problem I see, no matter what the industry is, no matter the expertise level, no matter how many years someone's been in business, they can't clearly articulate what they want to be known for. It's not the loudest person. It's not the person doing the most. It's the one that can clearly communicate to their target audience what they want to be known for. That's who wins. That's who rises to the top as an expert. That's the one that people pick to be the speaker. So you have to know how to clearly communicate in like one sentence, who you are, what you do, what problem you solve for your target audience. And once you have that nailed down, the sky's the limit for you. If you can succinctly say what you do clearly to your audience, you've already won half the battle. Think about so many people are so smart. They know so many things. And it takes them 15 minutes to explain what they're working on or what they're known for or what they're an expert in. Well, if you can do it in one sentence, you just saved yourself 14 minutes and 30 seconds of time, right? So right there, that's time you're going to get back to your life. But on a more serious note, clearly communicating what you do for your audience helps you attract the right people. It helps you repel the people that aren't meant to be there. It stops wasting their time. It stops wasting your time. But it also helps you, okay, here's the group of people. Here's my main goal. Here's the group of people I can truly help. Then you can narrow down, what are they reading? What are they watching? What are they listening to? Where are they hanging out? And you focus your attention on those places. What you want to be known for, where your target audience is, only appear where your target audience is, you've just saved yourself a huge amount of time. If you're only, you know, so often, especially with social media, you think you have to be everywhere, you think you have to be on every platform. No, you just have to be where your people are. And so we're experts spinning our wheels, doing whatever we can, throwing spaghetti at the wall. We're tired, we're burned out, we don't see it moving the needle, we're very frustrated. If we could clearly communicate our message to our target audience and we were honest about who they were and where they're hanging out, you're not going to be burnt out. You're going to be appearing so many places and resonating with the right people. You're going to see the conversions. It's going to re-energize you. And it's going to take you less time.
How did you figure out, like, what is your origin story? How did you figure out how you wanted to serve people and what your niche was? Tell us about your process.
I call myself an accidental entrepreneur. So I'm from a very, very small town. And so I learned, you know, small town life, everyone knows your business. I learned very early on as the only daughter. I had older brother, younger brother. I needed to spin not only the story if I got in trouble before I got home to my parents, but on the home front, I had to persuade my brothers to get in line with what I wanted. Did I want to use the car? Then I needed to tell my brothers why they didn't want to use the car. Did I want pizza for dinner? Had to sway the family that way. So I feel like I was a publicist from the womb, just trying to sway the perception. When I got to school, I thought I wanted to graduate early, go around Europe, become a lawyer. And in graduating early and taking a law class, I hated it. But I love the communications classes I'd taken leading up to law school. I like telling people's story. I like hearing why people do things, what they're expert in. I find the human mind and what clicks for people so fascinating. So when I took a public relations course and then had my first PR internship, I just knew this is what I wanted to do. The promotions of people's stories, the ability to use free borrowed platforms from other reputable agencies that are in the media. Like, why would anyone ever spend money to promote themselves? You have all these free channels. The world is your oyster. Just tell your story. And I've been fascinated with it for years.
So what makes a good story?
The human aspect behind it. You know, every one of us has created a business, a service, a platform, whether it's brick and mortar or just online, because we saw something missing in the marketplace, or we needed something and couldn't find it, or a loved one needed something and they couldn't find it. So we invest our blood, sweat, and tears in creating this thing or this place or this product. That is the story. Because you're creating from a place of service. You either wanted to help yourself, you either wanted to help the marketplace, you either wanted to help a loved one. That means there's other people out there that you need to help. And so when you're promoting things, you're not bragging, you're not trying to sell to people. You're actually handing them the service you're so passionate about, you sacrifice so much for, and being like, hey, I already solved this problem for you. Let me tell you how great it is. I think that's, most people think of publicity as bragging or being boastful, or sales as icky, or, you know, it just gets a really bad taste in some people's mouth. But the truth is, it's an act of service. You created something to help people. Tell the people you created things to help them. We all have stories. Every single business, every single industry, why you created or why you're doing what you're doing, the human side of that is the media gold for everyone.
Yeah. What's the difference between sales and publicity?
Well, I think the difference between sales and publicity is that I think sometimes sales can come off as icky. I think publicity is just sharing what you know with people. It's sharing your expertise, and you just want them to know you're the expert, that you know what you're talking about. You're truly not trying to sell them on something. There's nothing sleazy behind it. You want to help. And so I'm not saying that sales is always going to be that way, but I think it has the perception of being that way. Publicity, public relations, it's sharing your knowledge with people. It's literally being a nerd, nerding out about what gets you excited.
Mm-hmm. What is a story from your clientele of somebody who went from invisible to visible, and how did their life change?
Oh, I have an interior design client, and she is incredibly talented, but she's not based on the East Coast or West Coast, which is usually the hub for interior design, right? The next generation of designers is usually East Coast or West Coast. She's in Middle America, Kansas. She couldn't even get her local media outlets to cover her. And she does beautiful, like $250,000 worth of marble, sliding panels, architectural digestry. Kitchen's so beautiful, you wouldn't even want to cook with them, but they're chef level, so you would cook in them.
Yes.
Just take your breath away, beautiful works of art. She couldn't even get the local publications to cover her. And so we sat down, she's like, I don't have a story. I just design kitchens, like people cooking on. Well, no, the kitchen's the heart of the home. There's tons of stories there. The marble, sourcing it. Within a week, we had her in national publications. Within a month, we had her in every local publication. Within 2 months, she went from having clients to a 6-month wait list. Within 4 months, it was more publications because we were stacking her authority, getting her more coverage. She went from 6-month wait list to 2-year wait list. I think now they're on a 3-year wait list. She's quadrupled her prices. She's doubled her team. She is the first person to be in issues when it covers anything kitchen, anything marble, anything aspirational. She's become known for it all around the world. She's had granite companies fly her to Milan for Fashion Week, show where the granite sourced. And, you know, when you're a little girl from Kansas growing up, you're never like, oh, someone's going to fly me to Milan so I can see where all of our products being sourced. And so I think those things, but it's also being able to finally charge her worth and being recognized for her work. And we did that all in a span of 6 months.
Amazing. And you're from the Midwest too, right?
I am. I'm originally from Fargo, North Dakota.
Okay. Is it like the TV show?
1,000%. Yep. Yep. It's cold. We all have accents. You know, if I get really excited, mine comes out. Yeah. Yep. 100%.
And where do you live now?
I'm in Dallas, Texas.
Oh, okay.
A little bit warmer.
I think it's probably easier to be a publicist from Dallas than Fargo, but maybe it doesn't matter because it's all online.
I think you can do publicity from anywhere. What I really love about Dallas is it doesn't snow here, so I don't ever have to deal with blizzards or those conditions. And I think, you know, we're a major hub. If I need to be somewhere for a client, I can be anywhere in the country in 2 hours. I can be anywhere in the world in less than half a day. And I think that that's a perk of having Dallas as home.
Yeah, I love Dallas. So how does aligned visibility create opportunities, confidence, and revenue? What does that mean, aligned visibility? And how does it create all those things, opportunity, confidence, and revenue?
Right. So you're well known in your space. You probably turn down more opportunities for speaking, being on shows, being on podcasts, being in articles, being a guest in someone's summit than most people could dream of having in a week. You probably turned down a ton of those. And the reason you turn those down is because they don't align with what you're doing.
Right.
Remember when we talked about, this is my one goal and here's my target audience. They're going to help me get to that one goal. Aligned visibility is only focusing on the channels, the opportunities, the stages that get you towards that goal. Everything else is just noise. It's just busy for busy. It's just visibility for ego. It's not returning ROI. It's not building up your credibility. It's not getting you the clicks or the conversions or any of the attention. It's just out there doing whatever. You know, it'd be the equivalent of someone asked you to be on an auto parts podcast. Conference, you'd be like, I don't think this is for me. You know,
right.
Like, people who would just jump on it because it's a stage, right? And so, yeah, does all money hit your bank account the same? Yes, but all visibility opportunities aren't the same because you want to grow your brand. You don't want to deplete it by being everywhere. You want to be the go-to expert for your target audience, and that's aligned to visibility.
And what makes a great brand?
I think a great brand is one that's relatable to their target audience and that knows who their target audience is and that clearly communicates with them, right? I can give you an example of a not great brand right now, and that would be like Cracker Barrel, right? They're changing who they are. They're changing their marks, their logos, their colors, their menu. They're moving away from the nostalgia that got them their huge customer base, right? That is the opposite of what a great brand is. A great brand brings their people along, keeps them in line, keeps awareness, the nostalgia. You don't change the logo. You might alter it a little bit, but if you're doing that, you bring your community with you and be like, hey, we're thinking of changing, vote on these, you know? So even if it's not designed by committee, you make your community feel like it's designed by community because you've already tapped into your audience. You know what they like, you know what they expect, and you're communicating clearly with them. And that's the mark of a great brand.
What are some brands that inspire you?
What are some brands that inspire me? That is a great question.
It can be anything, clothes, shoes, perfume, like anything.
Oh, you know, Hayley Page makes the most beautiful wedding gowns, and I am not in the market.
She designed my wedding gown.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful wedding gowns, right? And she's been through it, right? Lost her name, lost her trademark battle, couldn't do wedding gowns for 10 decades, had to fight to get it back, is now creating even more beautiful wedding gowns.
Yeah.
She's just so talented, and it's so beautiful, and it's so her if you watch her. And I just think that's fascinating. I also love what Reese Witherspoon has done with her book club. You know, like, you know her for rom-coms and the movies. Her book club selections are almost top notch. Even if it's not like a genre or a book I think I want to read, it's always a good one. I love what she's done for that. And then I think another brand that inspires me, Martha Stewart. Martha can do wrong in my eyes.
I mean, the campaign that she did with Snoop Dogg.
Right? Like, be my best friend, guys. Like, it should be a treat.
Like an 80 something-year-old white woman who's like known for like domestic everything, and she's like hanging out with like the hippest, coolest rapper. Like, right. How cool is she? Like, she's cool.
And she looks beautiful, and she's funny, and she's, you know, posting her thirst traps on Instagram, and she owns it. She's just like, yeah, I'm not going to the gym without makeup. There's guys there. You're like, all right, Martha, when you say it, it makes sense.
And she went to jail and it didn't even ruin her brand. Like, how do you explain that as a publicist? She went to jail for insider stock trading and it didn't hurt her brand.
No, it actually gave her more street credibility because she's just so Martha, because she doesn't apologize for who she is and she knows who she is and she stands in it. You know, usually when someone screws up, the first thing a publicist is going to tell you is like, we have to issue an apology. You may or may not have to go to rehab. Then we have to back up you apologizing, showing that you truly meant this apology. Not Martha. She's just like, I didn't do it. I'm not guilty. If I'm guilty of it, all these other, you know, like she was unapologetic, all Martha. And that's how her brand has always been. Rode the wave.
Amazing. Maybe that gave her the street credibility that Snoop Dogg wants to hang out with her, because she might be an 80-year-old white woman, but she went to jail.
Right? Maybe that was it.
So I'm going to cut to a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. You're watching the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show. Do you remember slumber parties as a kid? Wearing pajamas, laughing until midnight, eating delicious food, and feeling completely free. Before the bills, the responsibilities, and the pressure of adult life. What if you could experience that magic again as an adult? On February 27th and 28th, I'm hosting the second Soulful Slumber Party in Cincinnati, Ohio. The first one sold out, and this experience is truly unforgettable. You'll receive luxury silk pajamas, a night at a beautiful hotel, a sacred cacao ceremony, a gentle yoga session, a professional photo shoot, my signature Seven Pillars of Abundance workshop, and an elegant dinner party with an incredible group of like-minded women. This is your chance to reconnect with your joy, your vision, and yourself. If you feel called, apply through the link in the show notes. I'll see you at the slumber party. Hey there, it's Rebecca, your magnetic abundance mentor. Let me ask you something. Are you feeling stuck, burned out, or like life just isn't as juicy as you know it can be? If you're nodding right along, it's time for a breakthrough. My coaching program is designed to help you align your life in all seven pillars of abundance: spiritual, physical, emotional, romantic, mental, social, and financial, so you can finally live that big, bold, sexy, and adventurous life you deserve. And here's the best part. I'm inviting you to schedule a breakthrough call with me. No pressure, no sales gimmicks, just a genuine chance to experience my coaching firsthand and get crystal clear on what is next for you. Because your best life is not a someday thing, it's a right now thing. So click the link in the show notes to book your breakthrough call and let's start making magic together. Your next level is calling you. This podcast review is from Bring It On, and she says that the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show is amazing and inspiring. She goes on to say, I believe this show is a place where women can come and really learn and grow. Rebecca creates a strong and safe space for women to share and be vulnerable. I highly recommend this podcast. Thank you so much. And it is absolutely a safe place for all women to come and learn. Thanks for being a great listener. Welcome back, everyone, to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show. We're going from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. We have top publicist KJ Blattenbauer on the show. KJ, what you like to say the saying alignment over algorithms. What does that mean?
I am as anti-meta in social media as I think a person can get. I actually spent 2 years.
If you're listening, Meta, she didn't mean it. Don't shut us down.
I'm just a big talker, Meta.
You know they're listening to everything.
Oh, literally everything. I actually took 2 years off of social media because it stopped being fun. And I was chasing the vanity metrics. I was doing whatever. I took 2 years off for my business and it didn't slow my business down at all. In fact, the only time I post on social media now is for fun because I want to. And I post whatever I like and I don't care about likes or the vanity metrics because the algorithm changes every day. Like no one, I'm sorry, Meta, but no one is going to gaslight you like the founder of Meta telling you this week what size things should be, what format is most popular, what's changed this week, what hasn't changed this week. Like no other relationship in your life, no other platform, no other service or product you use changes that much. Or you'd be like, why do I keep doing that? Like if your internet provider changed so much, you'd be like, this is not working. You know, if Netflix changed that much, you'd be like, I am no longer interested in Netflix. And so, but we allow social media to do it because we feel like it's our only promotional channel. But the truth about the algorithm is you can go viral tomorrow and the people that you attract are only interested in the drama or the comedy or the sensationalism that made you go viral. That doesn't mean because you have 100,000 and now 150,000 or 1 million followers that you're going to have 1 million purchasers. Right? The numbers don't equate. It's better to have 20 followers that believe in you, will buy into whatever you're doing, wholeheartedly support you, than 20,000 that will maybe be interested, maybe 4 will click. It's just, we've gotten so excited in the early days of social media to have the likes, the shares, the views, everyone following us. But if you're doing it for business, those likes are not likes do not translate into business. They do not translate into dollars. I wish that they did. I'm sure some people can convert them, but it's very rare. And so on my end, I see tons of small business owners. I have tons of friends who are like, if I just post 3 times a day, if I just post 7 times a week, well, that's a lot of posting. That's a lot of time that you're not spending growing your business or working for your customers or helping build up the pipeline. And you're not seeing return on investment like that if you're just a dog chasing your tail. Whereas, you know, on the flip side of that, I spend 15 minutes a night every so often treating myself like a client. And I pitch a couple podcasts in that 15 minutes with a glass of wine in my hand, maybe send a couple emails. So less than an hour a week pitching myself. And in a month and a half, I can get myself 165 podcast appearances, which small podcasts, large podcasts, but then
do you do it on your own or with the software?
I do it myself. I just research ones that I think are interesting. I look at ones that I like listening to or ones that I know people I admire have recently been on that are my target audience. You know, female founders, small business owners, $0 to 6 or 7 figures, that's my target audience. They are not reading anything. They're not watching anything unless it's like Bravo because they need a reset from the hard day of working. They're busy in their business. So they're multitasking. They're only on podcasts. I'm going to be on every podcast I can. That's how I reach my people. And whether it has 200 downloads a month or 200,000 downloads a month, I can convert a sale from that because they've heard my voice. They're familiar with my teaching. Maybe they've heard me on other podcasts. It really makes people familiar with you. And it gets rid of those 6 or 7 touches it takes to make a sale. Because when you're listening to a person in your ears, when you're having a conversation, when they can ask you questions and explain how they teach or what it would be like to work with them, familiarity is just, it's built and it compounds and that makes you credible and it makes them want to work with you faster.
So you think that people would be better off trying to get on podcasts than posting all day on social media if they wanted to get
1,000%. 1,000%. Yeah. Yeah.
And do you have a preference of short form podcasts or long form?
I don't think I have a preference, but I did have a podcast producer tell me last week that the sweet spot right now is a 28-minute podcast. And I thought, well, that's a very random number.
That is pretty random. Yeah, it's hard for me to just have a 30-minute conversation. My sweet spot is 45, but you know, there's Huberman and Tim Ferriss and some of the best podcasts, you know, Joe Rogan. They're like, you know, 2.5-3 hours. And I'm like, I can't imagine going on that long with somebody.
But the same thing is, it's just like how you have to teach your friends and family how to show up for you, for your business, for you as an entrepreneur. You have to teach your viewers, your listeners, your watchers, your readers, how to show up for your podcast, how to show up for your articles. Like you train them what day it comes out. You train them for how long it is. You show up consistently. You guys form a rhythm, right? Like, I don't know if anyone has 2 or 3 hours to listen to Joe Rogan, but apparently they're spending 2 or 3 hours listening to Joe Rogan because he's got one of the top podcasts. And so maybe people have to break it up, but they're still listening. Maybe, you know, the download, a download now and listen to later is still a download now. So you just have to train your people. Here's where I'll be. Here's how I'm showing up. Here's how you can take part. Here's how it benefits you.
What do you think about email newsletters?
You know, I think they're making a comeback. I actually think long form and writing that's not AI written, but still has a human aspect to it, still has a story, still has an actionable to do for the people or something that's tangible that they can take away and implement right away. I think that that's making a comeback. I think people are actually desperate for connection and interaction and mechanisms where they can immediately implement what they've learned. And I feel like I don't think the email will ever go away, but I do think the email newsletter is making a comeback.
Oh, interesting. So how is the energy of authority different than the energy of being an influencer? What's the difference between authority and influencer strategy?
Well, I think an influencer wants you to like, follow, share, very surface level. I think an authority expert is actually going to take you deep to learn something, to show you something. They're not just asking you to buy something off Amazon or showing you the latest pajamas they're obsessed with, right? An authority expert is
going to be obsessed with this. You're right. That's what all the influencers say.
Obsessed. So obsessed. I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed with people who can teach me what to do to benefit my business, to improve my life, to move relationships forward. I want to learn those things. And an authority expert is able to articulate, hey, I know X, Y, and Z about this subject matter. We can debate it all day long, but here's five things, two things, one thing you can do right away to move your business forward today, to move your life forward today, to fix this relationship today, whatever they're an expert in, that makes you an authority. I also think that we've become very wise when someone is an influencer, just creating content, just the surface level aesthetics of things, they're not taken seriously. And so you see it in the coaching industry. There are coaches that are there just for aesthetics. There are coaches that are getting down and dirty and they're coaching. And you can very easily tell in 2 seconds, interacting or looking at their feeds, which is which.
Yes, absolutely. And I think people are not into just aesthetics and these like drop dead gorgeous people saying like what they're drinking or eating. I think real and raw is what's in right now. So what is your opinion on like filters or non-filters or having your hair and makeup done when you go online versus just like rolling out of bed? Like, how do you feel about that?
I think you have to show up authentically how you are, right? If you have your hair and makeup done all the time, then show up and have your hair and makeup all the time, right? If that's not who you are, don't pretend to be something you're not. Because if you have to get a discovery call with a client and you're always in hair and makeup online, but you dread showing up for a discovery call because you're not in hair and makeup, it's because you're pretending to be something that you're not. Meet your people authentically how you are in every aspect of everything, and your products, your services, your expertise, it's going to speak for itself. People want authentic. They want real. They want to know the person they're working with, and they don't have to know everything about you in a Kardashian reality TV style sort of way, but they have to feel comfortable sharing their hopes, their dreams, their goals, their business with you in order to do business with you. And if they don't feel a comfort level, if they feel like you're a poser, people can sniff out phony a million miles away.
They really can. So what is your take on filters? To filter or not to filter? I like to say filters are the new plastic surgery, but I'm vain. Like, I'm riding that line of influencer versus authority when it comes to like looking good online. I could probably show up more raw and real, but what's your take on filters?
No, I'm for whatever makes you feel comfortable. Every once in a while, I'll filter. But this is as real and raw as it gets. If I'm going to speak on a stage, I am an introvert. It takes a lot. I have to really want to be on that stage. And when I get up on the stage, I remind myself it's not about me. It's about what I know and helping people. But to make me feel more comfortable, I'm going to totally get my makeup done before. I never wear makeup during the day. My friends and clients joke about how I catfish people when I have makeup on stage. But you get the same personality. I just feel better in a full face of makeup on a stage or for a photo shoot. Any other aspect of life, this is what you're getting. But it's the same message inside. And I think some people try and have a different persona when they put themselves out there, when they try and have business. They think they have to be serious, or, you know, they can't tell a joke buttoned up, you know, corporate world. Just be yourself. Just be who you are, and you're going to attract the right clients. You're going to have the business. It's the pretending to be something that you're not. If a filter makes you feel better, filter your life away. But just know when you're in public, that filter, it can't come with you.
It's not going to be there. Yeah, that is true. So how does a woman in midlife who's maybe not wanting to be in the spotlight, maybe she was, you know, hiding behind her husband and not really stepping into her power, and she doesn't really know much about social media or have a big following, how does a woman reinvent herself to step into her power and her visibility?
I think the first thing is to get quiet and decide, what is your power? What do you want to do? What do you truly want to be known for? Because maybe that doesn't require being on social media. You know, maybe it doesn't require being out there. Maybe it doesn't require stepping out of your comfort zone. So decide what you truly want to do. Then you find the target audience that applies to. Who's going to get you to that main goal that you have? Then it's identifying again, like we talked about, what is that target audience reading, watching, listening to? Where do they hang out? Maybe they're not on social media. Maybe they are. Maybe they're just on LinkedIn. Maybe they're hanging out in local networking groups or mom boards. Only show up in that place. Only show up in that place how you are. You don't have to chase everything. You don't have to have a ton of followers. I have clients who have tiny, tiny accounts that get tons of likes, tons of views from people who don't follow them, and make sales from people who aren't interested in following them or being on social media at all. We've put so much dependence on social media and the numbers and who has so many followers. But in this day and age, anyone can buy those. I could wake up tomorrow and decide I want to spend a really large amount of money to get to 1 million followers and then never and have like 12 likes on every picture because all of those followers aren't real. But
yes.
You know, the vanity metric is, oh, but she's got 1 million followers. That's great. How many of those 1 million followers are going to be using me for PR services? Well, none, because they're all fake. And so I think a middle-aged woman ready to step out and own it, doesn't want to be the center of attention, decide what you want to do. Decide who your target audience is. Maybe you don't have to be the center of attention.
Yeah.
Maybe you can be the sleeper cell that just goes under the radar, helping all the people you want to help. Just show up where they are.
I have, because I help women launch businesses, I have a program called Create Your Six-Figure Side Hustle. And I have a client who is just not comfortable putting her face on social media. She has a corporate job. She doesn't want people to know about her side hustle. So we're trying to do content that is just not her face.
Yeah.
So it doesn't always have to be about the creator. You can make your content about interior design or food or travel or whatever your business is. When we come back from a commercial break, I'm going to have you dive into that and we'll be right back. Thanks guys for watching and listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show.
Okay. Can I be real for a second? You're out there crushing it in some areas of your life, but in others, it's like a hot mess express. Sound familiar? Here's the thing. You're not just meant to survive. You're meant to thrive. And that's exactly what I help my clients do in my coaching program. Together, we'll tackle all 7 pillars of abundance, because who wants killer abs but a dumpster fire of a bank account? Or a thriving career, but zero in the romance department? Yeah, no thanks. I'm inviting you to schedule a breakthrough call with me. No pressure, no awkward sales pitch, just you, me, and a chance to figure out why you're stuck and how to get unstuck. So stop doom scrolling and start doing something about it. Click the link in the show notes and let's start giving you your best, most bougie life. You in? I want to share something personal that has truly changed how I feel in my body. Like so many women, I was eating healthy, working out, and doing all the right things, but still my metabolism felt slower. I was holding on to belly fat, craving sweets, and my energy wasn't consistent. That's when I started using the EverBalance and GBX Slim to Fit Duo. What I noticed from these two supplements was incredible. My belly fat started to release, my cravings for sugar went way down, and I had a steady, consistent energy flow throughout the day. I didn't feel like I was fighting my body anymore. It finally felt like my body was supporting me. This duo works at the hormonal and metabolic level, which is especially important for women in midlife. I feel more confident, energized, and more like myself again. If you're ready to support your metabolism and step into your most vibrant, magnetic self, go to the link in the show notes to grab your discount.
Welcome back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I was just telling you before the break about my client who did not want to be visible on social media. And I told her that you can still create content that converts and that gives your business visibility. What is your opinion about that?
I mean, again, who are your people? What do you want to do? What are you promoting and serving? If it's interiors, no one wants to see your face anyway, right? They don't care what the interior designer looks like. They care what the living room looks like. I have an interior design client I've worked with for 6 years. I think in 6 years, we've posted a picture of her 3 times on social media because they just want to see the picture. They just want to see the before and afters. They just want to see the work, right? If you have a recipe blog, it doesn't have to be about the chef. Show me the food. Show me how good it looks, right?
Right.
There are a million faceless marketing accounts where it's just someone's hands. And you're like, well, I recognize those hands anywhere, right? Or it's just the back of someone's head, or it's just the back of their kids. And you don't have to, just because everyone else is putting themselves out there, sharing everything, doing everything, it doesn't mean you have to. If you don't want to show your face, don't show your face. There are some businesses where people need to feel comfortable with you and they need to know you, and it benefits you to put your face out there. I don't think I'd have a very good PR business unless I had a transactional digital product only business. For people to want to work and spend as much money as it is to work one-on-one with me, they have to know my face. They have to like me. They have to trust me to let me into their business, especially on the crisis communication side of what I do. I will always have to show my face there. But if tomorrow I decided I don't want to do those things, I don't want to work one-on-one, I don't want to have retainer clients, and I just went to selling my books or selling digital downloads for PR templates, it'd be the templates, it'd be tips, it'd be all the carousels with all the stats. So there's a million ways to work around what you want to do. It's just being honest about, this is what I want to do. Here's my target audience. How do we make that work?
I didn't realize you did reputation stuff too. What is it called when you help when somebody has a scandal or help save their reputation?
I like to call it crisis communications, and it is never a dull moment, and it has paid for many, many wonderful perks in my life. And so I apologize for anyone's bad situations, but I can help you out of it. And those are definitely, some of them can be doozies. The bills will add up fast if you get into trouble.
Wow. Okay. So you don't have to say any names to protect clients' anonymity, but what is like a scandal or a bad reputation that you help somebody save and make it a good reputation, or even like help people forget about the scandal?
Yeah. I mean, think of any celebrity or professional athlete scandal, paternity, accusations, you know, sexual assault accusations, horrible marriage stories. Remember that Coldplay video? Like, yikes. That was a thing. You know, food situations, chemicals, all sorts of things that a brand can go sideways. Someone's complaint. Yeah. All kinds of kinds.
You say something. How do you save a reputation?
Well, I think, you know, what's great about America is that we love people and we love stories and we love to see people rise to the top. What isn't great about humans in general is that once someone gets to the top, humans really like to watch that person fall off the pedestal. We are there for the spectacle of it, and it is a shame. It truly is. But, you know, there's something about human nature that makes it that way, and I probably should have studied psychology in college and didn't, but we like to see people rise. We love to see people fall. But the thing is, once they fall, all we truly want as human beings is recognition if they've done something wrong, a sincere apology that they truly, truly mean, oh, shoot, I didn't realize I did this. I hurt this group of people. I am truly sorry. And then we want to see them take the steps to fix that. And if you have the sincere apology and you start taking the steps to fix something, people will very easily get bored with whatever your scandal is. They will move on to the next thing very fast. The ones that don't recover from scandal are the ones that double down. I didn't do anything wrong, or they won't talk about it, or they hide away from it, or they shy away from it. You know, in the 80s and 90s, early 2000s, the big thing was you apologize, you go to rehab. By the time you're out of rehab, everyone's moved on to things. You don't even have to right the wrong that you did, right? But now the public, because of TMZ and People Magazine and all of those things, has become hip to that whole PR ploy. Now you have to sincerely apologize. You have to show that you're changing, you're doing whatever. And so I think we're holding people more accountable for actions, but we're also becoming more judgy of people's actions. So everything is, you know, things can go sideways real fast in the age of social media.
I feel like people have such a high tolerance for scandal because so many celebrities and politicians and athletes have had scandal that kind of nothing surprises us anymore. Like, I feel like people are more forgiving and they're like desensitized to it. What do you think about that?
I do think people are more desensitized to it. But again, it's also, it's the ones that double down, that don't acknowledge, oh, whoops, that was a misstep, where that's the one that sticks around for forever. Again, I'm going to go back to the Coldplay people. They were so, they handled that so strangely in the days leading up to it, where they had just come out and been like, oh, just a bunch of coworkers goofing. They could have played that off a million different ways versus what they did, and it would have blown over a thousand different ways. But no, they stayed silent. They doubled down. They acted like it wasn't a big thing, when kind of a big thing when you put it out there like that. So yeah, that one, if you don't address what's wrong, if you don't show remorse and then actions forward changing, it's going to haunt you. The people will come with pitchforks.
I totally agree. So if somebody's listening to this podcast and they're like, all right, I am ready to step into my power and my visibility, I'm tired of being in the wings, I want to be center stage, what is their first step to getting on podcasts, media, getting in into the spotlight?
Deciding what they want to be known for. What do I want people to know about me? What do I not want to be known for? And being honest about what that truly is. Big lofty goal or not, what do I want to be known for? Once they decide what they want to be known for, target audience. Who truly is the avatar I'm aiming for, my target audience? What are they reading? What are they watching? What are they listening to? That's the only place I'm going to focus my energy. So once they know what they want to be known for and who their target audience is, after they do the research about where those people are, they need to get their house in order. Your bio should speak to your target audience and your end goal. It should be the same across social media, your website, any third-party sites you go on. If you have media appearances like this, it should be the bio that you give the host to reach you. Because anywhere you want people to find you or stumble upon you, if they Google you or search your name or you come up, it has to be the same across the board. Because again, it eliminates those six or seven touches. It makes people familiar with you. But the quickest way to erode trust and to ruin your credibility is if someone searches you and it says one thing here, it says another thing there, maybe something's old from something you did 10 years ago and you forgot about it and didn't think about it. So figure out what your goal is, identify your target audience, figure out where they're hanging out, then get your house in order. You're ready to be pitching, putting yourself out there.
So should be the same picture, the same bio, the same message on every website, blog, site, so people get to know your brand.
Yeah, and links that work, right? Because if, especially if your restaurant, brick and mortar, retail, if it's March, we're gearing up for holidays, Easter, springtime, and you're still promoting things from October, no one's ever going to trust you with their money if they can't even trust you to get your own links updated. Yeah. So you got to get your house in order.
I see that. I mean, I see, Chris, it's, you know, now February 26th when we're recording this, and some people, restaurants even, haven't even taken down their Christmas trees. I'm like, come on, guys.
Right, right. Or you're still seeing their New Year's menu and you're like, for like next New Year's?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I totally understand what you're saying. So let's do a couple rapid fire questions before we wrap up. So finish this sentence. Visibility is?
Authority that compounds.
Mm. What does that mean, authority that compounds?
Visibility is showing up where your target audience is numerous times. So anytime anyone thinks of the industry you're in, you immediately come to mind.
Love it. What's more important to building a brand, authority or building community?
Authority, because if you build community and you're not the person that they all turn to for expertise, then you've just built a tribe for somebody else.
Ooh, that's deep. Say that again. Let's do a double click on that. If you you build community, but you're not the authority, then you're building a tribe for somebody else. Well, who would you be building a tribe for?
Whoever's the loudest person in that group.
Oh, wow. So there are community builders, but yet they don't have like, there's people who have Facebook groups, but you're saying if they just built the community without the authority, the Facebook group really doesn't have a leader, or the loudest person in the Facebook group is the leader, the one with the most visibility.
Yeah, the one with the most visibility becomes the leader, right? You see it all the time. There are networking groups where you know who they are. We have no idea who started them, no idea who the founder is, no idea who architected that community or built and grew it. So they grew the brand, they didn't grow their personal brand alongside it. So if they ever want to sell that community or their business or whatever the other brand is, they can sell that off, and then they're just Joe, and who one time built whatever. But Joe, you built this thing for 18 years. The whole 18 years, you should have been promoting yourself as the person who founded this thing, right? Then you've just lost momentum. You have to pick it back up. I see it all the time in like moms groups. Moms groups get built up, you know, then they get bought out by other groups that want to own a mom community, a mom group. And then it's not always the person who has founded the group, who started the group, whose idea it was. It was someone who stepped in later and decided, oh, I want to be in charge of this. You know, it could be the bossiest person, or it could just be the loudest person. It could be the person that responds the most. It's whoever the group turns to that has the authority. And so you want to be the person in your group with the authority. Like, I'm not going to start a PR community tomorrow and then be like, oh, I'm just behind the scenes. You guys talk amongst yourself. No, I'm going to be in there. I'm going to be dropping tips. I'm going to let them know. You got any questions? You come to me. That's how you establish authority in your group.
I think of Craigslist. Nobody knows who Craig is, but he has this amazing community. I mean, I've like gotten every amazing Labrador puppy I've ever owned off of Craigslist, sold a car, you know, done all kinds of great things. But Craig is so anonymous. And my husband actually met Craig once, and he was like, I've met Craig. And I'm like, really? Craig exists? I thought it was just a name of like an online.
I didn't even know Craig existed. I thought it was just a random name.
No, there's a Craig who actually started it, but nobody knows him. So he has no authority, but he has a amazing, effective community. So that's an example of that. What does your morning routine look like?
I am up between 6 and 7 every morning, and I take about an hour walk. I have 2 rescue golden retrievers, and it is my mission to walk them every single morning. It's the highlight of their day, and it gets my day started off right because I get to see their happy little furry faces bouncing around, but also like sets the tone for me. There's no email, there's no phone, there's no social media, nothing electronic until after the morning walk with my dogs. And then it's usually just diving into the day. That's kind of my morning routine. Not the healthiest, but still good.
Do you drink tea or coffee?
I don't drink either, actually. I might grab a hot chocolate, but I save all my caffeine for the afternoon. I am an avid Dr. Pepper drinker.
Diet or regular?
Regular.
Woo! You're a partier. You are a wild partier. Okay. Well, this has been a lot of fun. How can people stay in touch with you, KJ? How can they get your book, and where do they find you online?
My book is available on Amazon or anywhere books are sold. It's called Pitchworthy. You can find me on my website, Hearsay PR. That's HearsayPR.com. Or you can find me on Instagram. I'm KJ Blattenbauer.
Thank you so much, KJ, for being on the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show. And thank you so much, listeners, for sharing the show, subscribing, and reminding yourself and the people you love that you can be a high-achieving, successful person through alignment, not the hustle and grind. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone. So excited to share a review from Melissa Myers, the Glow Girl. She says, inspiring podcast. Rebecca has a gift for creating meaningful, empowering conversations that leave you feeling inspired and uplifted. Balanced, Beautiful, Abundant is like sitting down with a wise, soulful friend who truly wants you to thrive in every area of your life. I love how she blends practical advice with spiritual insights. I'm so grateful I found it. Well, Melissa, we're so grateful that you found us, and we can't wait
to find out how you are glowing and growing by using this podcast as a tool. And everybody who's listening and sharing, thank you so much for your support. And it's such a joy to be on this journey with you.